What's up, my fellow firefighters and dedicated listeners of the Keep the Promise podcast? I have an extremely exciting announcement that I could not wait to share with you, so I hope you're ready. Starting today, for a limited time only, I'm offering you an incredible opportunity to join our exclusive Patreon community with a 1 week free trial. That's right, an entire week to experience the amazing benefits, resources, and connections that await you inside of our firefighter family. But this offer is more than just a trial. It's an invitation to step into a world where support, growth, and inspiration thrive. It's a chance to embrace a community that understands your dedication, your struggles, and the profound impact that you strive to make every single day. Imagine a place where you're surrounded by like-minded individuals who share your passion for service, who understand the demands and joys of the fire service, and also who stand shoulder to shoulder with you as you keep the promise that you made to your community. It's not about the benefits that you'll receive either. It's about the connections that you're going to forge, the friendships that you're going to nurture, and the support that you'll find when the weight of the world feels heavy on your shoulders. Look, as firefighters, we're not just bound by a profession. We're united by a deeper purpose, a calling to protect, to save lives, and to make a difference. And together, we can achieve so much more. During this 1 week free trial, you'll have access to exclusive bonus episodes, behind the scenes insights, and a community that will rally around you, providing you encouragement, advice, and all the motivation that you need to become the best version of yourself, both on and off the job. So, my fellow firefighter, I invite you to take that leap, to join us in this extraordinary journey. Let us be the foundation that supports you, empowers you, and helps you overcome any obstacles that come your way. Head over to our Patreon page today at joinkeepthepromise.com. Again, joinkeepthepromise.com and claim your 1 week free trial. Do not miss out on this opportunity to experience the strength of our community, the wisdom of our guests, and most importantly, the inspiration that awaits you. Together, we will keep the promise we made to our community, to ourselves, and to each other. I'll see you on the other side, my friend.
If you make a mistake, an honest mistake, we're going to learn from that mistake. We're going to try to minimize the impact of that mistake, and we're going to make sure it never happens again. But if you make a choice, you make a decision to do something you know is wrong and you choose to do it anyway, I will not have your back.
Welcome to the Keep the Promise podcast, where we help build resilient and well-rounded firefighters.
It's just wild. It's the camaraderie spans across the globe.
Oh, very much so. Like I stayed on the beach a couple months ago down in South Carolina, and the firehouse was right around like maybe a block away. So I'm walking past, they're doing their apparatus checks and shit like that. And, you know, I'm like, hey, like, you know, like, yeah, do you guys work a 24 shift? Do you like any, you know, and you know, like, yeah, you know, you ask them about their shift configuration, like, you know, like what kind of officers, yeah, you know, what, you know, who right. rides officers, stuff like that. They're like, oh, okay. And they're come like, inside, oh, so, coffee. So, you know, like, we're, you know, like, were you on the job? And I'm like, yeah, you know, like, and you give them a little brief history and they're like, yeah, come on in, grab some coffee. Well, bullshit. You know, and you find yourself there for like 2 hours and, you know, talking about the same bull, you know, like, yeah, you know, the same stuff,
things,
you know, same. That they're dealing with the, you know, the same things that we are, you know, like it's, there's a lot of universal stuff. You know, we think that, you know, each department is unique in its own way and peculiar in some ways. Like, for example, I talked about this the other night when I had dinner with Josh, Baltimore County specifically. Like, there aren't a lot of, like, specific things that are peculiar to Baltimore County, but the one thing that I'll never forget, it when I first found out about it, like, I was getting ready to have a birthday, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to have ice cream and cake. I'm like, you want to know what kind I like? And no, you have to bring ice cream and cake for your birthday. And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, it's your birthday. You bring ice cream and cake. Like, I have never heard of that before, but okay, now that I know, like, then you just get used to it because everybody's having a birthday yep. or a work anniversary or whatever. So there's practically ice cream and cake
All the time.
All the time.
We find the most menial reasons to celebrate. And yeah. To have sweets.
Hell yeah.
It's worth it. It's life's
worth Absolutely. Well, we can't drink at work, so you might as well ice cream and cake it is.
So another question, and this is something that I actually had a conversation with one of our younger guys because he was having issues with his rookie. We're seeing a lot more folks who come into the fire service without any previous experience, but without any sort of institutional knowledge, for lack of a better term. We called it IT. How do you pass IT along? And we both know what we're talking about. Listeners know what we're talking about. When you see somebody, you're like, oh, they get it. They get the fire service. So the question is, how to pass along to new members the pride of belonging to the department? Because you cannot manufacture pride. I cannot come to you. You cannot come to me and say, thou shall be proud of who you are as a firefighter and where you are. Like, how do we instill that, especially in this different generation that may see this as just a job?
Well, yeah, some people are going to just do that. Some people are just going to see that as this is a job, you know, and you kind of have to take a step back and go, it takes all kind of people to make this work. And some people aren't going to be on board with that whole thing. I think most people do get on board eventually. And I think the best way to do that is for the company officer and the rest of the crew to just live it. You know, if you all have pride in the job, if you all if you have that, then a lot of times people will get on board with that as well. It just takes a little bit of time for some people to do that. You know, I think you do that by developing that shift camaraderie. You do go out like occasionally as a shift. You do have get togethers. You work out together. You have meals together. I think those things are important, for that pride to come about. You know, like you do a little bit of extra here and there. But more than anything else, I think living the talk, you know, like instead of just talking about it, because if you get hired by the fire department, you already have a pretty good bullshit detector. And if you, you know, if somebody's like talking about station pride and shit like that, but they're, you know, sitting in a fucking recliner, like, you know, with the clicker, like not doing a goddamn thing, you know, just, yeah, like, yeah, everybody's, yeah, like that new guy's bullshit detector is going to go, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm going to be prideful like you. You know, like, yeah, you have to live that. You can't give it lip service. It has to be, you know, it has to be exhibited. And it has to be lived, not just, you know, just given lip service.
I like that, the lip service.
Mm.
That's
Well, you know it's true, and you and you've seen it.
Oh, bro, yeah,
way too many times. I saw it a lot when I first got hired. People talking about like bringing the kids on board and the sense of family and shit like that and all that. Well, like when it came time to pick vacations,
fuck the kids.
Exactly. Like, you know, even if these kids had, they're like, if these kids had kids and your kids were grown, like these old guys that had grown kids and no reason at all to want off Christmas Eve, fuck those kids.
Yep.
I didn't get Christmas Eve off when I was their age.
Therefore,
so they can kiss my ass. Yep. Like, where's the brotherhood there? Like, yeah, you know, like you can talk about brotherhood all day long, but that's not living it.
Let's get into the brotherhood. There was a guy.
Drives me insane.
There's a guy that I know who would try to catch all the young guys and say, it doesn't matter what's going on. You should work a trade or shift with the senior guys for the big holidays and not expect to get paid in time. Like, you should volunteer to work for the senior guys who have been around if we work a holiday, Christmas, New Year's. And whenever he tried to give him the spiel, as soon as he would leave, we'd grab the young kids and be like, yo, it's your time off. Fuck it.
If you're off, if you don't have to work and you want to hang out with your family,
that's
hang
insane.
Out with your family.
Who, like, oh my God, that, like, oh, that's disgusting.
And that ties into brotherhood. It is a word that we love.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is a word that we bastardize. And it is almost that blanket that allows us to act like absolute douchebags.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've seen that more than enough times. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can quietly live that life. You know, like, if, you know, like, if you see somebody that needs some time off or needs a day off, you know, just quietly, hey, man, like, I'm going to work your shift for you. You know, I mean, there's, you know, like, that's fine. But I think a lot of times the people that shout it the loudest, you know, like, are the ones that are the least, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, they're the least tolerant of everybody else, you know, and
they don't live it.
No, they don't. That's not living the brotherhood. That's, you know, that's trying to, like, enforce your ideals on other people. Like, it's okay to be passionate, you know, about the job and stuff like that, but you don't have to be a dick about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't.
We don't have to eat our young. We don't have to crush them just before we get crushed.
No.
And again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, that it takes a lot of work to be that mentor and to end whatever bullshit you dealt with.
Yes.
I did a lot of dumb things as a rookie. I caught a lot of flack. I was treated a certain way. There were standards that were applied to me and not to others, mm-hmm. and vice versa.
Right.
And the easy path would be to treat everybody else the same way because I had it that way.
Right.
And what does that do? It just perpetuates my cycle of bullshit.
Right.
And it ensures that the next person that goes through gets to live through the same dumb experiences that I lived through. It takes a lot more work to be like, okay, yeah, it sucked for me. Let me absorb that hit and make sure that you don't have to deal with this.
Right.
And let me give you the story as to why, and let me make sure that you don't have to deal with that.
Yes.
And that's that ties into the statement that the homies from West Little River in Miami-Dade ask. Talk to us about the importance of teaching and mentoring those junior members. I know you're one of those quote-unquote old-timers who will go to bat for the new ones, which is pretty unheard of in the fire service. We have those guys who retire or who are ready to retire who are just so happy to shit on the new generations. And you have been very vocal throughout your entire career about how, no, that, like, we're good. These kids have it. They're different, but they still have it.
Oh, absolutely. They do. Like, they're, like, you know, like, they learn differently than us. They, you know, maybe they do have a different outlook on things than we do, but, like, they're buying into it in their own way. And that's okay. Like, just because they're different doesn't mean they're wrong. Like, yeah, that drove me crazy back then, and it still does. I mean, I think that I left the fire department in really good hands when I left. Like, there are a lot of good people there. Now, yeah, like, to be sure, they're, you know, they get hamstrung by, you know, some of the bullshit that flows down from, you know, from the top of the food chain, but, you know, overall, they're solid people. You know, they're smart. They want to be fit. They want to take care of, they want to take care of business. Yeah, I loved being around those guys. Like, my last couple years in the fire department, I got a whole brand new shift of young guys, and it was energizing. I loved it because it was like, yeah, we want to go out and do this. We want to try this. And I'm like, all right, let's do that. You know, and yeah, you know, it was fun. You know, they made it fun again. You know, it was really cool. And then, you know, PTing with the recruits, that was always fun. You know, I had a blast doing that. It was as good for me as it was for anybody. Like, you know, like, one of the things that benefits that I got from it as far as the cancer recovery was I started going back to, like, I went back and PT'd with a recruit class before I was allowed to go back to work. I was just doing it like kind of on my own time. And at first I couldn't keep up with them. All I could do was just tell them what to do. And then eventually I started doing a little bit more and a little bit more. That helped me in my recovery immeasurably. Like I think it sped it up, which was pretty damn awesome. Yeah. And I love doing that. That was a lot of fun. I still have like, I'll still run into recruits that, you know, I remember maybe, you know, being a little bit overweight in the academy or whatever. Like I ran into one dude. I think he lost like 100 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, like I didn't even recognize you. He's like, well, I really appreciate, you know, like you, like, you know, like doing the PT with us. And I'm like that to me, that was like, that's why.
That's right the best there. Compliment
that's,
you can
that,
get.
That's why right yeah. there. Well, the best compliment you can get is I would work with that guy. Like there's no compliment in the fire service. Like I would like to work for him or I would like to work with, well, I would like to work with him or I would like to work with her. Like, yeah, like there's no other, there's no higher compliment than that.
We joke about at work, a couple of the guys, how we're not really clear and direct, especially when we dislike somebody. As no. to the reasons why.
No, we're not.
And it's so funny because somebody will bring up a name that just like turns our stomach and just makes us angry. And the stock answer is something like, oh yeah, I'd have a beer with him. And we joke about it. Yeah. Like we'll be leaving a call where like the patient just like berated us and told us like the worst things about who we are. And we, you know, Nick and I look at each other like, yeah, I'd have a beer with him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And well, we apply that to the people in the fire service instead of being like, hey, this is what I don't like about you. No, like I'd have a beer with you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, like there was a chief who every time he talked about somebody he didn't like, yeah, and it was clear, like, yeah, he couldn't hide it. He's like, well, he means well. Yeah, and I'm like, dude, if I ever say that, if I ever hear you say that about me, I'm just going to hang myself because I know what that means. Like, I'm just a hunk of shit. Like, you know, like, well, he means well.
That's like the fire service equivalent of bless his heart.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm sure you know.
Spend oh, so much yeah. time in the South. That's a South Carolina thing.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Charleston, beautiful place.
Yeah.
I'm jealous every time you go there.
Yeah, it's a great town. It truly is.
Here's a quote that I really like. Here's something that he wrote. You're here to serve. The public doesn't care if you're having a bad day. They only care that you fix their problem.
True. Like, absolutely. I think I told every recruit class that like one of the great things about PTing with recruits is like you have them for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they have to listen to all your bullshit. They're a captive audience.
Against their will.
Against their will. So like, and it turns into Stockholm syndrome because they kind of like you at the end. But it's true. Like, you know, like you have to wrap your mind around the fact that you're here to serve the public. You get paid to do that. And they don't give a shit if you're hot or you're cold or you're sweaty or you're tired. They don't care if you're going through a divorce. Went through my whole fucking divorce working. Like, you think anybody cared when they called me for their problem? They don't give a fuck. Like, they just care that you fix their problem. You know, and you have to wrap your mind around the fact that you are here to serve them. They are not here to serve you. You know, and if you can't do that, then this probably isn't the line of work that you should be in. You'd like, you may need to reconsider what you're doing. Because that's a fact. That's just a hard fact of our world.
Hey friends, I want to take a quick moment to ask you to support the show by leaving a rating and a review on your favorite platform. Your support means the world to us, and it helps spread the message to even more people. We've gotten thousands and thousands of listeners, and those high ratings help our show become more discoverable, allowing us to reach even more listeners and make an even greater impact. So if you've enjoyed what you heard so far, please take a moment to leave a rating and a review. It only takes a few seconds, and it makes a huge difference. Thank you so much. And now let's get back to the show. Tell me about preparing to become a company officer.
Well, I think it's, you know, preparing to become a company officer, nothing really prepares you for it. I mean, like I think it's necessary that you get the basics of the job down, and get comfortable in the backseat of the fire engine. That might take 2 years, it might take 4 years, it might take six, eight, whatever. But get good at that. Get good at the basics, that kind of thing. A lot of people think, and I disagree, that you should be a pump operator or a driver before you are an officer because it helps you with decision making, stuff like that. I see value in that, but I don't think it's absolutely necessary. Nothing really prepares you for the transition from the back seat to the front seat. Because when you're in the back seat, you get your shit on, you get in, you get all buckled in, you're thinking, all right, you know, like if this is happening, this is what I'm going to do. This is happening. That's what I'm going to do. You know, like, is my radio here? Blah, blah, blah. And then you get off and you perform. You go to the front seat. Now you get all your shit on. You think about, what am I going to do? Then you have to think about, all right, what's everybody else going to do? What's my second engine going to do? What's my third engine going to do? Where's the truck going to go? You're listening. You're like, where is this? You know, you got to find it on the map. Well, you know, like we had map books way back then. But you got to find, like, where's my nearest water source? Where's my secondary water sources? You know, like, you got to talk on the radio. You got to listen to the radio. It is a whole lot of information in a very, very compressed amount of time. And I always said it's not overwhelming, but it's goddamn whelming. And nobody can teach you how to process all that information. There's no class that you can go to and go, this is how you process all this information. You have to do, you know, like, you have to figure, it's kind of like doing multiplication. Like, some people do it one way, some people do it another way. Like, there's no real one way to process all that information and make it make sense. The only thing you can do is go to calls and try to make it so you're practicing processing that information on every call. Like, you're looking at buildings when you show up for that medical call going, okay, if this place is on fire, you know, if they had fire on the second floor, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, when, you know, here's my hydrant out here. You know, this is what we'd do. The second engine would take, you know, do this. Third engine, do this. Like, you, like, there's value in game playing, role playing. So I think that's the best answer I can give. As far as the strategy and tactical part of the job, the other parts of the like the personnel matters and stuff like that. Oof, that's I think just by being consistent, having integrity, like, do what you say you're going to do when you're going to do it, and be like, try to treat everybody fairly, like. You know, and I know that everybody's side of fair can be different, but I think if you're consistent with everybody, I think you're going to be okay. I didn't have many roles. By the time I made captain, like, there were captains that are like, this is what we do on this call, this is what we do in that call, like, this is the line we always pull. Like, I wasn't that guy. I'm like, all right, well, make sure you're dressed at my level or higher. Yeah. Like, that's non-negotiable.
Right.
Like, if I have all my shit on, you will have all your shit on. If it's 95 degrees and I'm sweating my ass off, you're going to be sweating your ass off too. And the only other rule was, that I was a stickler for was like, listen, like, we get something that's on fire, you know, pull the line, get it to the front door, you know, like, get your shit together and get ready to go. But you do not cross that fucking threshold until I make sure there's no fire in the basement. That's not negotiable. if I see you inside when I come back around that building, I will put my foot in your ass so far you'll be able to, you won't be able to sit down. like that's not negotiable, because I'm not writing that letter for anybody.
Yeah.
I have made it this far without anybody getting hurt like that on under my watch, and I'm not going to allow it. Those are the only two rules I had. Like follow most of the rules. I'll tell you which ones are important.
Yeah. I like that approach. And I think it comes from my inherent disdain for authority, which again, it's not lost on me the fact that I ended up in a paramilitary organization.
Right.
For as much as I hate people telling me what to do. But a lot of it comes from having worked for officers who are luckily the same way. Hey, these are the expectations. I'm not giving you the entire playbook of what I expect. Go here, move that, pull this, do that.
Yeah.
Get a line to the front door or to wherever and start putting out fire. And
don't make us look stupid.
Right. Simple as that. And I've going back to what we were talking about, getting, the multiplication tables and getting that practice as a company officer from this contrarian right here who dislikes most authority. I absolutely hate those officers, especially the new ones who look at you and act as if saying, I got the colored helmet. I know everything. I am always right.
Yeah.
The best officers that I've worked for have always been so humble and able to go, oh God, I should have done this differently. And, oh, I learned something new. And you look at them, you go, okay, this guy's legit. Because the other one who's saying, I'm a lieutenant, therefore, this is what we're doing. You're like, I don't think you're right. And seeming to think that by virtue of being where they are not ever going to learn again. Yeah, it's...
One of the things I always said was after 6 decades on this planet, the only thing I'm sure of is I don't know shit. I believe that. I know this much. I think the more you experience, the more you realize you don't know. The other thing about that is the reason I loved headsets on the fire engine is because we are always going to be smarter than me. We're going to game plan when we're going down the street. What do you think? I think this, we got this, this building's like this. If we got big water, if we need big water, we're going to, pull the deuce in half, but consider that, we'll figure it out when we get there, that kind of stuff. Or somebody will be like, hey, I ran a medical call on this place the other night and it's bad. You do that back and forth. A good crew will always, bounce ideas off each other. And I always welcomed that. I think that's a smart thing to do. They always made me look way smarter than I ever was.
Yeah. You're using all your resources, right? You are taking the combined experience.
Oh, absolutely.
As small as it may be, you're taking the combined experience and therefore being more than just the individual.
Yeah. I think it's really, you do your crew a disservice when you don't take their input. I mean, there were times when there may have been a few times where I'm like, yeah, we're like, this is what we're going to do. Because we have to. Normally it revolved around just eating a big shit sandwich, and you're like, all right, we're going to eat the shit sandwich. Let's go do it. Yeah. And I think we is very, very important, in that context, because, I worked for officers that are like, you guys go do this. And I'm going to be over here talking to the chief. Yeah, so they didn't eat that shit sandwich. Instead of breaking it into 4 pieces, we had to break it into 3 pieces. Mm-hmm. So those 3 people had to eat a bigger chunk of the shit sandwich.
Delicious.
So I think it's really important for an officer to use the word we a lot. Especially when you get wins or you do a good job. We did a good job. If something goes bad, it falls on you. you know, like, you know, and if somebody really screwed up, then, you know, you have to deal with that. But I think it's important that you minimize that, you know, and not call that person out in front of everybody else and stuff like that. You know, I think it's important you pull them aside and go, what the fuck were you thinking? And, you know, so, you know, like, and get their side of it. And if there's a reason, you go, oh, all right, well, okay, I see what happened there. Or if it's a dumb reason, you're like, well, don't ever fucking do that again.
Right.
I don't know. I think we make this a lot harder than it needs to be sometimes.
Oh, agreed. 1,000%. On that vein, what do you think is the most important quality of a even slightly decent fire officer?
Well, I think that the use of we, you know, and using your resources, you know, talking to your guys, you know, getting to know them, you know, getting to figure out what makes them tick, you know, making sure that you have given them like your expectations and you find out what their expectations are of you, because it may be something unreasonable. I work with people that were like, it's your job as a company officer to cover my ass no matter what. And I'm like,
no matter what, huh?
Really? Yeah, that's your job. Like, well, I remember saying to him, so what kind of man expects another man to make up for his shortcomings?
Mm.
To take the blame for his behavior. Like, what kind of man does that? And what kind of man expects that? And that didn't go. Like, dude, you know what? My take on that, this was one thing that I think I told everybody that I worked with. Like, look, if you make a mistake, an honest mistake, we're going to learn from that mistake. We're going to try to minimize the impact of that mistake, and we're going to make sure it never happens again. But if you make a choice, you make a decision to do something, you make a choice to do something you know is wrong, and you choose to do it anyway, fuck you and everybody looks like you. I will not have your back. Like, you knew it was wrong, you did it anyway, and now you expect somebody else to take the fall for it? No, not going to happen. And if you can't work for somebody like that, if you can't, like, that's my whole take on that. If you can't work for me, put a transfer in. I'm not going to be mad about that, but that's how I feel about that.
These are the expectations.
Right.
That's the standard.
Again, a mistake is one thing. A choice is another.
Oh, I like that.
And it's true.
Might be the title of this episode. Well, buddy, we are coming up on almost 2 hours.
All right.
And we have covered everything from peer teams to going to fires, obviously, to cops and cancer, everything in between.
The one thing I do want to go over,
yes,
is the difference between men and women in the fire service. You know, like,
ooh, spicy towards the end. I like,
well,
it.
Well, like, it's something that is near and dear to my heart. I mean, I was married to a firefighter for 17 years. So I had to put up with the bullshit that was handed to her at work. Yeah. And the fallout from that bullshit when she come home with it. So it is near and dear to my heart. Yeah. The main difference between men and women in the fire service is if you show up at a firehouse, or if I show up at a firehouse and I drop my salty gear down, you know, like, say a couple of key words that make people go, okay, well, you know, this person knows what they're talking about. Like, they know what they're doing. Most women, they could have 20 years on the job in some of the busiest companies ever. They walk into a different firehouse, they put their gear down, they have to prove that they know what they're doing every fucking time. That has to be exhausting. So we need to get rid of that. I thought it would go away, you know, 21st century and all, but it hasn't, you know. And I remember telling recruits, I'm like, look, you know, like the women that are working with you in your academy class right now, you know, you're busting your ass. They're busting their ass twice as hard because they're physically not as big as you. And they're doing it. So, you know, like I remember hearing, you know, from dudes like, oh, well, you know, she can't pull me out of a burning building by herself. Well, there's some 350-pound dudes that I can't pull out of a burning building by myself, and I'm still okay, like, physically. So, what's your point? This is a team fucking sport, dude. You know, like, just get over yourself. That's pretty much how I feel about that.
Reminds me of that quote that you're only as good as your last fire.
Oh, very much so. Well,
but again, we're not applying that standard in a standard way.
Right.
To our male and our female colleagues.
Right. Well, like, and we talked about this before we started the thing, like you're not as good as your last fire. You're only as good as your last fire. And the one great equalizer in our world is the hood of a burning car. Like I will say it until the day I die. Like, you could get like 6 hoods in a row. Like, you know, after you figure them out, you're like, oh, I got this shit. I am the king of the, you know, like of getting the hood open. And then that 7th one comes around and it will make you look like it's your first fucking day on the job and you have never seen a burning car before. Like, yeah, that's, you know, because there are so many different variables and so many different hoods and so many different latching systems that it's impossible to figure them all out. Nothing will make you look dumber. You know, and normally it's when the car on fire is surrounded by a bunch of people in the parking lot the store that are like videotaping you, and you just, you're like, it will make you look like your first day on the job.
What's up, everybody? TJ here. I hope you enjoyed this 3-part episode with Dave Angelo. As you've heard, this guy is full of knowledge, full of insight, full of experience, and he's so easy to talk to that you understand why I keep going back to him just to keep picking his brain. So I hope that you got a ton of value out of it. Pass it along to your crew. Dave is awesome, and he's become such a good friend of the show that I guarantee you he's going to be back for more as we partake on some bigger projects down the road. If you are new to the podcast, what we do is at the end of every big episode, like a chunk of these 3 episodes, we do a shout out to our Patreon supporters who have so willingly decided to join this community where we work on creating resilient, well-rounded firefighters. You get daily workouts, weekly mantras, the weekly kitchen table mini podcast, early access to a bunch of stuff, scholarship for conferences, the whole 9 yards. And it's important to recognize those folks who join the community because it's, I don't know, it feels good having people be part of this awesome group of folks. So without further ado, let's give a special shout out to Todd from Ranburn, Alabama. JT from Deer Park, Maryland. What's up? Mike from Rockford, Illinois, and Todd from Jasper, Texas. Guys, thank you so much for believing in the community, for helping spread the word, for becoming a fitter and a better firefighter with every passing day that you put in that steady work. You are what make the fire service amazing. You are the kind of folks who keep that promise that you made to the community and to each other. And for that, I am extremely grateful and humbled. Be safe, my friends. Catch you next time. Hey, everyone. It's TJ here from Keep the Promise. As you know, this podcast is all about helping firefighters become more resilient and well-rounded so that they can be a force for good within their fire department and their community. But today, I want to talk to you about something that's just as important, and that is supporting firefighters who are going through tough times. When one of our fellow firefighters is off work because they have to go to the Center for Excellence, they have to go to rehab, they have mental health issues, or they have other health issues, It really takes away their support system and it wreaks havoc on their finances and their family's finances. And many times these brothers and sisters are left to struggle alone, away from their support system and the people who love them, without the resources they need to recover. That's why I'm setting a bold new goal. And that is to reach 150 total patrons on Patreon so that we can start a fund to help firefighters and their families during these challenging times. And I need your help to make it happen. With your support on Patreon, we'll be able to provide financial assistance to firefighter families who are battling things like addiction, depression, and cancer. We're going to help alleviate the financial strain that can come with being away from the fire department so that our brothers and sisters can focus on healing and recovering. Now, reaching 150 total patrons is a big goal, but I believe that we can do it together. And when we do, we'll be able to make a real difference in the lives of those who serve and protect alongside us. So, if you're not already a patron, I invite you to join us today. Head over to joinkeepthepromise.com and sign up today. Again, that is joinkeepthepromise.com. And if you already are a patron, thank you so much for your support. You'll be receiving some exclusive rewards and perks as a way of saying thanks. Together, let's show our fellow firefighters that we've got their back, just like they always have ours. Thank you for listening. Let's get started with the episode.